This week on Older and Wiser.
How old is too old to wear skinny jeans, go clubbing, or get a tattoo? We've got the survey results.
Can smiling make you look older? Believe it or not, a new survey says yes.
Also today, what people really think about teddy bears, puppies, and chocolate milk.
Okay, I'm Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora, and you're listening to Older and Wiser. Teddy bears, puppies, and chocolate milk. Okay, what could be wrong with any of those things, right?
Right.
We've got surveys on all three of those things, and we'll have that in just a little bit. But our first survey comes from Retire Savvy, which is a website for seniors. They ask 2,000 people, when are you too old to do certain things? The first thing they ask is, how old is too old to get a tattoo? And the people in the survey said, 38.
I don't know how they came up with that number. Tattoos to me are way too much of a commitment for my skin. And not only that, I've seen and read enough about it that tattoos look like they're painful to get.
Well, it does make sense when you're in your 20s, you're kind of out there, you're likely to try just about anything. So a tattoo, not that unreasonable maybe, but by the time you're 38, you probably got a job, you probably have a family. It is a little more unusual to get a tattoo at 38.
I think they look good on, I would make an exception, I think they look good on yoga teachers in California. Especially if they're on the ankle or they're
it's a very small,
small
market. Yeah. According to this survey, people think you should stop taking selfies at age 34.
I always thought it might be an interesting thing to be able to take a picture of yourself. And then when I saw everybody doing it ad nauseum, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I would rather take a picture of something else maybe and have somebody take a picture of me. But
what about the age? Let's talk about the age at 34. Okay. Is there a reason to cut off selfies at age 34?
I guess it looks a little bit self-absorbed.
Desperate.
And maybe people think you should be a little more mature at that point. I don't know.
I think a selfie that you post, just a picture of you, no other people, not the kind where you get a group shot, the kind where it's just a picture of you, it does sort of suggest that you're looking for love or you're kind of desperate or you're trying to suggest that you're sexy and young. And maybe at 34, it starts to look a little desperate.
Well, in your 70s, probably you should take one before you start a new expensive wrinkle cream.
Okay.
And so you can have your own before and after.
Good idea.
Same thing with maybe a hairdo if you go to have a new haircut.
Grab
or something.
A selfie.
There might be a reason for it.
The survey also says you're too old to go to a music festival if you're 45. 45
forget
at a music.
Forget it.
I think it's kind of old. What do you mean, forget what? Forget.
I think you can go to a music festival at any age.
Yeah, but
you can
here's
to a music
the thing.
Festival at 145.
Well, okay, for example, our big event here in Southern California is called Coachella. And all the major performers, the pop and rap performers, are all on stages, and it's a huge thing. I think it's an unusual thing to go to that if you're older. Now, I do have a friend who goes every year, and he's my age. He's 60. But he's kind of the exception. I think most of the people in that crowd are going to be in their 20s. So how weird is it to go hang out in a crowd of 20-year-olds?
Well, but wait a minute, Bob. Don't you think it depends on who's appearing? I mean, they said music festival,
I don't think
concert.
They mean like the mamas and the papas.
If it were the mamas and papas,
you could go to that.
At this point, because a lot of them
James Taylor Music Festival. Yeah.
Or the Beach Boys.
Carole King. Yeah.
The Rolling Stones. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rolling Stones get probably every age, but certainly amount of the baby boomers probably scomp those tickets up first if they can. I'll bet.
So maybe if it's all old people.
I think it depends on the group.
Okay. The survey says you're too old to go out to nightclubs to go clubbing at age 44. I agree with this, frankly, because kids at these clubs are in their 20s. And
yep.
What are you doing going to a club if you're 44? Come on.
You're trying to learn. Remember how to make small talk.
You're trying to meet someone young is what you're trying to do.
And they're all looking at their phones anyway.
That's right.
They're just paying more for the booze.
You're up to no good if you're 44 and going to a club. That's all I'm saying.
You know why?
39 is the magic age for miniskirts. No more miniskirts after 39.
Well, this one I kind of hover toward agreeing with a bit, but I do think the ultimate thing for that, and there's another one, by the way, let's talk about it while we're at it, because I think it comes to the same thing. The leggings and the skinny jeans. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think all these three depend on your legs. I've seen young girls, teenagers, who should not be in leggings or skinny jeans because, you know, if you're comfortable in it, fine. Don't
you
get
mean they don't skirts. Have the legs for it?
Well, I mean, there's a little too much going on. There's just, you know.
Well, I guess really- now leggings, they go all the way up to your waist. So right. Theoretically, if you're wearing something tight on top, something small and tight, then your whole like rear end area is all exposed in leggings. So it's more than just your legs, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah. You don't want to, you want to be able to exhale.
Yeah. All right. What about bikinis? 46, they say, is the limit for a woman to wear a bikini on the beach. Two-piece swimsuit.
I gave mine up years ago after I left the Virgin Islands. Yeah. I was skinny and young then, and I'm neither of those things now.
I will say I'm very impressed with women who just don't care, who wear it because they like it and are not self-conscious about the way they look.
You know, if you want a good tan, and that's, let's face it, that's questionable because that's not the safest thing to do with your skin for a lot of reasons, but you know, then a bikini is going to give you maybe a better tan because you can tan the middle. But if you're not showing the middle, then what's the difference, you know?
Yeah. This survey says at age 38, you should have it together enough not to be drunk in public. Can't
I
agree
disagree.
With that more. I think
I
she's...
I disagree. Yeah. I think it's...
you disagree.
Because I don't think getting drunk is a good idea. And after you have a serious hangover or two, you know it.
Let me say this, though. When you're in your 20s and you're young and single and just crazy, you kind of understand the kids go off the edge and you can cut them a little slack, right? But when you're 38, shouldn't you have learned enough not to be drunk in public? Come on.
Let me tell you something.
You're a grown-up.
And I think if you're going to go out in public or at a party or, you know, if you're at a frat party, if you're in college or you're at one of these bars that you're hitting clubbing, I think you want to keep your wits about you.
So what's your age not to be drunk in public?
When you're old enough to be out on your own, I think, you know, if
so
you're
18,
have a glass of
never
wine,
be drunk
dinner
in public.
Or something, fine, you know. Got but it. I think if you really want to seriously get drunk, I think it's best done at home.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, our next item is, I don't know why I can't agree with you on this. It just feels like that when you're young, you've got a little, you got to be cut some slack because you're still getting used to alcohol and how to use it and how not to use it. And when, you know, you're going to have a couple of drunk nights. So, you know, but when you're 38, no.
I don't have kids. You do. And so that may be the difference here.
Maybe that's it.
I would say this, though. If I did have daughters, let's say, it doesn't
look,
matter.
I don't want my kids to go out and get drunk. I understand. But
yeah.
but
I'd say come over. We'll get some, you know.
At what age is it sort of pathetic? 38. It's pathetic by 38.
I think it's pathetic before that. Okay. But we'll agree
all
to
right.
disagree.
Okay, sounds good. The survey says you should tuck in early by the time you hit 52. Go to bed. Don't stay up late. If you're 52 and you're up till midnight, something's wrong with you.
You're probably on something or drinking coffee too late in the day because most people I know who get to, you know, when as they get a little bit older, they get sleepy. But that can happen to young people too. I've got a niece who always went to bed early. And
yeah.
It was always a good thing because she's got to be up early. And it's even gotten more so because she has small kids.
But I also think sometimes older people have more worries. They tend to stay up late just because they can't fall asleep. And I don't think it's a hip thing or, they're not trying to be cool to stay up late. It's just, you know, your sleep patterns become whatever they are for you when you get older. So I'm not sure there's a real age attached to that.
I think that if there's an exception, you know, if everybody's getting together to have a party or you go to a family wedding or whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, if there's a special event, class reunion every couple of years and you want to stay up late, fine. But pretty much as a habit, you're going to start to feel it physically. I agree.
All right. Well, our next survey today comes to us from the Free Press. And some researchers at Western University came up with this theory. They did a little research and decided that smiling makes people appear older. People in the survey were shown images of some people smiling, other people with just a neutral face, and then other people with surprised expressions. And apparently, according to the results, the participants perceived the smiling faces as the oldest.
That's surprising.
Really?
I would think a smile would make you appear younger. I would think if you've got a serious, somber face, it makes you look cranky.
It's possible that, you know, when you have a resting face, you know, none of the wrinkles happen.
Yes.
And you crinkle up when you smile.
Look at most models on a runway when they do a show, when they show you a snippet of that. All those models have a look that
serious.
Was totally serious.
Yeah.
It may be that, you know, there are no wrinkles around your eyes. There's no expression lines shown.
Well, that's what, you know, when kids do selfies, they don't smile. They do a sort of a duck face, or they'll do some sort of a serious look into the camera. I think it's a modeling look and
yes.
all that.
Yes.
So maybe they associate young people looking serious and older people too dumb to know better, and they just smile. I don't know.
I would think a smile makes you look more approachable. So
yeah, you would
I don't
think,
know if
right?
this is a matter of worrying about whether you look older. I mean, if every time I see somebody, I go, oh, how nice to see. Whoops, I can't smile. I don't want to look old.
Here's the surprising result, though. Listen to this. They gauged the surprised faces to be the youngest. So apparently all the people took a look where they were looked surprised, and that makes you look younger.
Well, you know what? If you open your eyes and raise your eyebrows right now, anybody can do this listening to us, seriously, and you open your mouth, and you probably stretch everything out.
Maybe that's it. Well, listen, any woman who's had plastic surgery knows that you look a little more surprised after the surgery, right?
Yes.
So maybe there's something to that. Maybe it really is sort of a give. Everything appears stretched, you know. The researchers feel that the aging effect of a smile stems from people's inability to ignore the wrinkles that form around the eyes during smiling, you know, of course, smooths out the wrinkles. So
yeah, I don't know. To me, it seems like a really minor thing to worry about.
I know. Some of our surveys are a little on the sketchy side anyway, and including the next one we're about to do. According to this headline, new survey shows dog people often choose their pup over their partner and family. And the only reason I say it's possibly a sketchy survey, not sketchy, it's just biased possibly. It's from an online network of dog sitters called Rover. So they already have a position on dogs. So we tell you that up front. According to this survey, 94% of these participants see their dog as a member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That seems reasonable.
No surprise. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have a dog, you're not going to think he's not a member of the family. Right. 75% of dog moms and dads also said they would include their pooch in vacations, marriage proposals, holiday cards, and other major life events. So if you've got a pet, do you put him in the Christmas card?
First of all, I don't send Christmas cards anymore.
But if you did, would you share your kitten, your cat, for example, in the Christmas card picture?
If it wasn't something that would make me want to pull my hair out to get them to pose.
54% of these dog people would consider ending their relationship if they thought their pup didn't like the partner they picked. So if you're trying to do a wedding proposal, you better have the approval of your dog.
Well, if you get to that point, hopefully you haven't. You don't need to take the dog along to deliver the ring or the question.
Yeah.
On the other hand, do I understand that sometimes people will pick animals over or pets over people? Yeah, an annoying person versus an animal that gives you unconditional love? You tell me.
Well, 65% of those polled admitted to taking more photos of their pet than of their friends or their significant other.
Yeah, well, the pet's always ready.
the pet's not going to complain, right?
Yeah.
The pet's not going to
say, well, maybe. If they're sitting there, you know, if they're sleeping.
So if you want to take a picture, right, you got a pet, take a picture of the pet.
Yeah, absolutely.
No complaints there.
None.
Our next survey comes to us from it's called the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy. It said survey finds that too many people still think chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
You have to be kidding.
Well, I'm just telling you what the survey says.
Seriously, really?
You know, admittedly, it's a small number, only 7%. These are actual grown-ups, adults, seem to think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. 7%.
This just goes back to the fact that most of us need to read more.
How is that even a thing?
I can't even imagine they really think chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
I mean, I do understand that as a kid you might have been told that, so it might sort of stick in your memory. But these
are the people you don't want to meet if you go clubbing.
Exactly. At least don't go home with them. That's for sure. 48% of respondents said they aren't sure where chocolate milk comes from. So. Which is weird because 7% said they think it's brown cows, and almost a half said they really aren't sure where it comes from.
See, you know what it is?
Was that how the question was posed? Suppose they said, do you know where chocolate milk comes from? And they weren't sure. 37% of people admitted to secretly drinking milk straight out of the container. Do you ever do that?
No.
What's wrong with that? Let's say you live alone and you want to.
If you live alone, fine. But what if somebody comes over and says, "Oh, you've got milk? Can I have a glass of milk with that new chocolate chip cookie I just brought over?" Somebody comes over with chocolate chip cookie.
I don't have germs, so what? They will never know I drank out of the container.
You don't have germs? Really?
I have no germs, please.
You better call the National Institute of Health and tell them that you're there, you're available for studying.
Sometimes all you want is a swig, just a quick, because there's nothing better. When you're a little bit thirsty, I know it sounds strange, then a quick cold shot of milk. It just tastes great.
Take a little small glass out of the cupboard, pour it there and drink it. No.
According to the survey, 5% of people abstained from drinking milk altogether. I would have thought it was higher than 5%, actually, with milk allergies and all that. 95% of people say they have some type of cheese in their refrigerator.
I do. I love cheese.
We always have cheese.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I love cheese.
Cheese is the thing, man.
Do you like blue cheese?
Like blue cheese. I like grated Parmesan. I like Gruyere. I like you know what they have, which I just love, is that smoked mozzarella. I think you can get that at Trader Joe's, and it is so good. It's like a meal on a cracker.
Yeah. Oh.
Smoked mozzarella.
I know what I'm doing right after we talk today.
All right. Moving on to our final subject of the day. This is a survey from Bed Mattress Brand. And this company, apparently, they sell mattresses. And they did a survey of 2,000 Americans about their former and current nighttime companion habits. I'm talking about husbands and wives. This is the do you take a teddy bear to bed with you or a pet or a blankie? Or anything. And believe it or not, a lot of adults continue to take something to bed with them.
I consider half my bed belonging to my cat.
This is interesting because did you have some sort of a stuffed animal as a child in your bed with you at night?
I had a stuffed clown.
Okay. So
that's weird since some people are terrified of clowns, but it was a clown doll. It was kind of stuffed. His name was Happy. And I usually took Happy to bed, but that was when I was little.
The survey indicates that those who had stuffed animals that they slept with as a child are much more likely to have a pet sleeping with them as an adult. And here you are. You're a perfect example of that.
Yeah. But I could sleep without, the stuffed animal.
And finally, one of the things that this survey also revealed was that 17% of people said they would have to break up with someone who tried to bring a doll to bed with them. Seriously. I mean, if you're dating someone and you go to bed with them for the first time and they have dolls in the bed, it's like, that's got to be a deal breaker, man.
Hey, you're 67 years old and you're bringing Donald Duck to bed. What's up with this?
That's got to be a deal breaker right there.
Yeah, I would tend to wonder about that.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Older and Wiser. Susan Sikora, thank you for being here.
It's always fun to do this. And today's, I'm still getting over the chocolate milk.
Some weird topics today, yeah. For daily news updates, celebrity Twitter, and the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit us at olderandwiser.com.